Sylvia Cinková, Marie Mikulová, Jan Štěpánek, and they will tell us something about the Prague English Czech English dependency tree bank. So please take the
to give a promotion talk at the occasion of the official release of the Prague Czech English dependency tree bank number 2. We are three authors of the presentation, but I have to stress many times that plenty of people contributed to the corpus, and there are many more authors, including all UFAL professors, numerous annotators of both language parts, and many programmers. What is this corpus about? It is a major update of the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank number 1, which was released by the LDC 7 years ago. It has more than 1 million tokens on each side, and the texts originate from the Penn Tree Bank Wall Street Journal section. It is a Czech English parallel corpus, and this time, unlike on the first CD, all texts from the Penn Tree Bank have been translated to Czech. The translators were asked to translate the texts sentence to sentence, so automatically we get a sentence to sentence alignment. We added an automatic alignment of nodes of the trees on two layers. I will talk about this in more detail later. The most unique contribution of this corpus is manual tectogrammatical annotation on both sides, this time for the first time for English. The Czech part has an addition of 2,000 sentences manually annotated on the analytical layer, which is the surface syntax layer. And this corpus is based on the theory of functional generative description. It has been a big project starting in 2004, very slowly and quietly, where we started creating the tectogrammatical representation guidelines for English. This was the time when the Prague Dependency Tree Bank was about to be released, and all programmers were busy with preparing the Czech corpus. So there was actually no technical support, and we didn't work with the data too much because we knew that the format was obsolete and it wouldn't make sense to start any large-scale annotation. So we worked on the guidelines, and we created the valency lexicon, which we call Engvalex, and it was created. The first version was created by a semi-automatic conversion of the prop bank. The actual annotation of the data in the new format started in 2006. On the Czech part, the texts had to be translated and the translation had to be revised first, which took about 2 years. The annotation, tectogrammatical annotation, started in 2007. The analytical annotation took just about 1 month, and because the Czech group was much faster than the English group, they also had time to add manual coreference annotation there. And the revisions were ongoing until now. If you'd like to use the corpus, the entire DVD will be accessible through the LDC. Then there are two other options which are still in negotiations with the LDC. The first one is that a tiny sample of the data will be accessible on the web, so you can search it online. And the other option would be that there would be an additional release with Penn Tree Bank only in plain text with no bracketing, so that we would be able to skip the LDC license. So I'm going to present the annotations or the visualizations of all the layers we have in the corpus. So what you see now highlighted is the you don't see it actually or do you, is the original Penn Tree Bank as it is visualized in thread, the tree editor, and browser. Then we have the analytical layer, which is automatic, save the 2,000 sentences for check. And then I and Jan will be talking about the English and the Czech tectogrammatical manual annotation. To start with, I'll have to mention two layers which are integrated into the surface syntax layer. This is the W layer, word layer, and morphological layer. The functional generative description is a multi-layer language description framework, and the bottommost layer is just the plain text. In plain text, in our implementation, the plain text is tokenized, and each token is regarded as a node, although it's still in early order, and each node gets its own ID. The morphological layer arises when you add part of speech tagging and lemmatization to each token. Now, a digression. The original Penn tree bank bracketing, it's done by the team of the University of Pennsylvania. We didn't change anything at this layer. We only added the node IDs. So each node has an ID now. You can see it for the non-terminals that we added, and we added lemmatization for terminal nodes as well. And now we've come to the analytical layer. So this layer is surface syntax dependency syntax. In English, we have manual tagging from the Penn tree bank taggers and automatic lemmatization, which we haven't revised. For the Czech part, both tagging and lemmatization have been done automatically. And we've added automatic alignment, which you can't see at all, but I anticipated that. So I added the alignment. It looks much prettier when it's done automatically. It is node-to-node alignment, and because it is automatic, it sometimes makes errors, like here. There's a mapping between a reflexive pronoun and on the Czech part the English verb to be, but this happens obviously. The English analytical layer has been done automatically by a Trix script written by Martin Popel. We have not revised this. But except a few revisions in part of speech tagging, when an error proliferated up to the tectogrammatical layer and it made the consistency controls angry, so we had to fix it. The analytical layer contains syntax dependencies, syntactic labels, which are called AFUNs, analytical functions, tags, lemmas, and it also contains references to the original P layer, into the original Penn tree bank, and the alignment references. On both layers, the alignment goes from the English part to the Czech part. This is a list of the analytical labels. You can see that they follow the traditional syntactic categories. We have a predicate, subject, object, adverbial attribute, coordination node, preposition, determiners. This is unique for English. Negation, and the parser also admits when it doesn't recognize a dependency. So it says that it's an unrecognized dependency. There's a specification of the analytical layer for Czech, and Martin tried to adapt these principles to English as well. So I will tell you about the most important ones. Verbs of control decided to accept is controlled by the except is controlled by this side. So the controlled verb depends on the controlling verb, and the infinitive particle comes in between. Auxiliary verb forms are governed by the lexical verbs. Subordinating conjunctions, prepositions, and the infinitive particles, they govern their content words. Any modifier of a noun is regarded as its attribute. There's one label which doesn't exist in Czech, that's aux A, which stands for determiners, and determiners depend on their content nouns. One more thing about the analytical layer. This is what coordinations look like. They have a head, a coordination node, and the members of the coordination have the suffix co, like coordination member. I have listed the principles here. There are three more I want to talk about. This layer doesn't use any artificial nodes, no gaps, no traces. The apposition and parentheses are not recognized as a paradigmatic structure. This doesn't mean that the parser thinks it's a coordination, it just doesn't recognize them at all. When you have something like Peter, my best friend, then Peter will be the head of the entire phrase, and my best friend would just depend on Peter. And in English, the existential there is always the clause subject, and you know the rest. So the Czech layer has a different specification.
In fact, I'm not going to tell you the details about the analytical annotation, because the rules, guidelines were exactly the same as for the analytical layer of the Prague dependency tree bank that I'm not going to repeat here. So what's interesting, or might be interesting for some of you, is that we used only some of the sentences. The annotation was done in June to July 2008. And we only were able to annotate the sentences that were already translated to Czech. So this is, in fact, the green ones are annotated on the analytical layer, the rest only on the tectogrammatical layer. So you can see we took sections 22 and 23 from Wall Street Journal and annotated just some of the files. There was one annotator annotating all the data, and then later one person that checked all the data. And the data were used in Connell 2009 shared task as out of domain data for the participants to check their systems on different data. And that's it.
Some of you might ask why we have two layers which both represent dependency syntax. So I can't resist and present the differences. On the left-hand side, you see a trace of a tectogrammatical tree. And on the right-hand side, you see a trace of an analytical tree. I hope you can see that there are many, many more nodes in the analytical tree than there are in the tectogrammatical tree. And that's the main difference. In the tectogrammatical representation, only content words get their own node representation, while the auxiliary or function words are collapsed together with their content words, and they exist there in forms of references to the lower layers and in form of attributes, which abstract the linguistic knowledge from them. each occurrence of a verb is connected to a valency lexicon. The lexicon consists of valency frames for each verb, and the frames prescribe the number and the types of complementations that the verb has to realize. When they are not present on the surface, we have to complete them. So that here we also insert artificial nodes. We restore ellipses of several kinds. We have semantic labels, so-called functors, and we have some pronominal anaphora resolution. The references to the lower layers are an important thing, so that's why I dedicate a slide to them. When you see a node for that represents the phrase "the crowd," you will see only "crowd" as the node. It will refer with the lexical link to the ID of the corresponding node at the analytical layer. The word "the" will be just a reference of another kind, the auxiliary reference, which will go to the analytical node corresponding to the word "the." Here we have one sentence in English and Czech, on which I want to illustrate some other properties of this representation. You can see syntactic dependencies. Like here, opinion is mixed. You see a copular verb which has an agent, the opinion, and the predicate adjective is the patient here. You see the label for the main predicate, which is to be. Then opinion is modified by prospects, which has a label for regard, that it's a topic of something, or we regard it. And the prospects word is modified by 3 months, which is labeled as time, how long something was about. In the word "its," you see that you see the anaphora resolution, that it refers to the word "dollar" somewhere in the preceding text. On the Czech side, you can see a brown arrow and a node that is squared. Square nodes are generated nodes. The word used there means "differ," and the lexicon prescribes for "differ" 2 arguments. Something differs from something else. Here we have opinions. In Czech, opinions are mixed. Opinions differ. So actually we are missing the patient there. But we know that the patient is somehow included in the actor. So we create an additional artificial node, and by the arrow we just let the representation, we indicate that it co-refers with the thing in the actor.
Názory se různí. Názory ohledně 3měsíční perspektivy se různí.
Je tam to názory ohledně perspektivy?
No, je to tam.
Tadyhle.
Mně
to přišlo, že to by mělo spíš záviset na slovesé, a ne na perspektivě. Pokud by ten český překlad, jak říkáte, je to za tím
tím. Hmm, hmm.
What is the main idea with the tectogrammatical representation is that the tectogrammatical representations of the same sentences, even in unrelated languages, are much more similar than their surface representations would be. I will illustrate this on one sentence. Mr. Carter also goes through periods when he buys stocks in conjunction with options to boost returns and protect against declines. You can see the verb to buy there, and the verb kupovat, which corresponds to it. Czech is a pro-drop language, so you wouldn't normally find the agent, the actor there. Because the valency lexicon prescribes for by having to have an actor and a patient and some other elements, we have to insert it, which makes the trees similar to the English trees. And a much nicer example is the entire phrase to boost returns and protect against declines. You see that it is an infinitive clause, which is an infinitive purpose clause. There's a systematic difference between English and Czech. We can't use the infinitive clauses like this. A purpose clause must be a finite clause in Czech. And if you look at the trees, you will notice that even though on one side you have an infinitive clause and on the other side you have a finite clause introduced with a subordinator, the trees look exactly the same. I said there's a lot of information hidden in the nodes. I will go through the most important attribute values. I apologize if it's boring, but if you are going to use the corpus, you will probably proceed faster if the things are familiar to you. So one of the most important features is the node type. The node types, from the combinations of node types in parent and child node, you can say whether an edge is a dependency edge or not. The regular words like nouns, pronouns, and verbs have the node type complex. This means that we expect them to have morphological categories. On the other hand, sentential adverbials like probably, fortunately, or the negation particle do not have any categories like number, animacy, tense, etc. So they get a different node type, atomic. In some cases, we have to insert a generated node, which stands for a word that we would normally expect to have grammatical categories. So such nodes have their own node type as well, quasi-complex, like complex. The heads of paratactic structures, coordinations, appositions, etc., get their own node type. Then dependent phraseme parts, like the bucket in kick the bucket, would get a different node type. Foreign expressions get their own node types. List structures, these are artificial nodes which govern sister nodes of multi-word expressions which we don't want to analyze syntactically anymore, like a foreign phrase or a multi-word expression which is just a label for something, etc. And each sentence on both layers has a technical root, which of course is a different type of node as well. These are a few examples. On the left-hand side, you see a foreign expression, multi-word expression with the list structure root. The other one is a phraseme, be up and running. Up and running has a special node type. And the last one is a multi-word name, Albert Fried and company. The non-dependency edges go from list structure as a parent to its daughter, from the technical root to its daughter, and from the paratactic structure root to the members of coordination. Vice versa. In the atomic nodes, the edge between the atomic node and its parent is a non-dependency edge, and so is it in dependency phraseme parts and in foreign word expressions. This is what coordinations look like. On the left-hand side, if you imagine edges, there's a coordination root, the end, and three members. The function words, like prepositions, are copied to each member of the coordination, so it's of style, of genius, and of energy. The The other picture displays a coordination with two members and a shared modifier. We also indicate ambiguous dependencies in depictive verb complements. In the sentence, he said IBM has priced its leases aggressively, thinking that would help win business. We want to indicate somehow that we know that it was IBM who was thinking that would help win business. We are not allowed to create another edge up to a parent. So instead, we use a reference. That's the attribute compl rf. We mark grammatical coreference in several situations. I picked a sentence where we can see three cases of grammatical coreference at once. There's a phrase, a fuel that is cleaner to burn than either oil or coal. In the topmost case, you have a relative clause, a fuel that is cleaner to burn. We know that that is co-referential with fuel, and we know that it's just dictated by the grammar, so that's why it's called grammatical coreference. The other case is cleaner to burn than either oil or coal. We know that the thing burned is the fuel. It's under burn here. The patient must be fuel, nothing else. It's just given by the grammar. And also in evaluative constructions like this is nice to do or something, we add a generic participant for whom it is good. It is generally good for anyone. That's this artificial node benefactor. And we know that the one who burns the fuel is this public general benefactor person. So, I said we use generated nodes quite a lot in artificial nodes. It's mainly when we restore textual ellipses. I will take a day off today and you will take a day off tomorrow. There we have two copy nodes which are generated. We have to complete valency frames, a good book to read. Then to read has to have an actor and a patient, and we have to indicate somehow that it is the book that is going to be read. And there are a few constructions specified in the annotation guidelines, which we think of as semantic shortcuts. So we make them a little bit more straightforward by adding some generated nodes which kind of interpret the structure. One of the examples would be comparison. You are like my brother says actually you are equal like my brother is some. As you have a property that my brother has. Another important attribute value is the tectogrammatical lemma. For regular words, it is basically its lexical value without negation. So a word like uncool will be lemmatized as cool. We use a lot of so-called T-lemma substitutes. It is partly for personal and possessive pronouns, which are defined as the T-lemma personal pronoun, and then it has several grammatical attributes called grammatemes, which state, which gender, which number, etc. The negation particle gets a T-lemma substitute. Then all punctuation symbols, all generated nodes that have something to do with the grammatical or the textual coreference, reciprocity indicators, foreign expressions, and many others. I won't go into detail here. It's enough when you remember that there are many, and you can find in the specification which functions they have. We have, in this release, we have introduced the we have not introduced it, but we have used it. We have used the formeme. Formeme is something that actually doesn't exist in the functional generative description. It's completely redundant on the tectogrammatical layer. It says again what a tectogrammatical node looks like when it's on the surface. But we inserted it because it's very convenient for searching. If we don't add this morphosyntactic surface information about a node, and we want to search for a phrase like after the cut, you will have to search for the T node that has the TLMA cut. You have to specify that it is a noun, which is not so straightforward anymore, because you don't have morphosyntactic tags on the T layer anymore. You have to go through the reference to the A layer and say, I want to have a T node whose lexical reference goes to an A node, which has the morphosyntactic tag noun. And when you want a preposition along with your search, you have to say, and besides, I want this tectogrammatical node I'm looking for also has an auxiliary reference to a node on the analytical layer whose lemma is after, which is a pretty long search. When we insert the formeme as a shortcut, you only have to look for a node that has T lemma cut and formeme N, like noun, with the preposition after. We have about 70 functors, which are semantic labels, which illustrate the semantic dependence, semantic relation of a child node to its parent node. We have 5 labels for arguments. We have a few functors for paratactic relations, saying this is a conjunction, this is a disjunction, this is a consecutive clause, and so on. The main nodes, the linguistic roots of the sentence, when it's a predicate or when it's a noun in a noun phrase, they get different functors, and most of them are semantic labels for various adjuncts. In English, we have introduced 2 additional functors, subjunction modifier and named entity. This was a practical decision. English is very rich in expressions which are sequences of a preposition, a noun with various modifiers or without them, and another preposition, like in the aftermath of, in the light of, just there are many. They act like prepositions, but their form is not so fixed. We didn't know whether we should hide the nodes and pretend they are all prepositions, or whether we should just resign on the knowledge that they act like prepositions. So we just added this as a transition step before we know what to do about them. Named entity, we added named entity when we got the BBN coreference and named entity corpus into our data. We decided that it is very painstaking to assign functors to multi-word expressions that are names, especially for English when you have so many complex noun phrases without any prepositions. So that's why we introduced the NE. This means we have resigned on semantic interpretation. In the data, we have an attribute that is called grammatemes. The grammatemes are added automatically, not manually yet. And they are semantically oriented counterparts of morphological categories. As I've already mentioned, personal pronouns. All personal pronouns have T lemma, not he and she or it, but perspron. And it's the grammatemes that tell you which you should generate on the surface when you generate a sentence. So a she pronoun would be perspron with gender feminine and singular. This is what the grammatemes are for. I will mention a few of them. Semantic part of speech. We recognize four semantic parts of speech. Semantic nouns, adjectives, verbs, and adverbs. Cognitively, they correspond to substance, quality, event, and circumstance. Model verbs are auxiliaries in this data, and they affect the values of the grammateme deontological modality. So when you have a content verb, a lexical verb with a grammateme, you should be able to generate the appropriate model verb to it. Other grammatemes are tense, gender, animacy, negation, degree of comparison. For Czech, it is also politeness. One other important thing, this is not an attribute anymore, is valency in the tectogrammatical description. I have said already that each verb occurrence is linked to a lexicon of frames. Each language part has its own valency lexicon, PDT Valex for Czech and Engvalex for English. The valency theory of the functional generative description makes difference between participants and adjuncts, and they are not defined like participants are obligatory and adjuncts are free, but there's another axis where, or another criterion, whether it's obligatory or free. So you can have participants which are obligatory and participants which are free or non-obligatory. And on the other hand, you can have adjuncts that are free and also some which are obligatory. Only participants, both obligatory and free, and obligatory adjuncts define the frames. This is what a frame in Engvalex looks like. When we converted PropBank into Engvalex, the first version, we preserved the mapping from Engvalex into PropBank. But then with the release on the Antonodes 4 CD, PropBank was radically changed. So the mapping just got scattered and it disappeared. We've restored the mapping by looking at the data. We extracted the mapping from the annotation, and this is what it looks like now. These are a few complete valency frames. And yeah, here we have alignment. On the analytical, we haven't. So as I told you before, it's node to node alignment. Imagine arrows going from node to node. What has been annotated on this CD manually is much less than you can get on the Prague dependency tree bank. We are not that far yet. Manually done is tree structure, the references to the analytical layer. Whenever the part of speech tagging was wrong and we needed something to appear as a noun when it was a noun and it was tagged as a verb, we had to correct it for the sake of our consistency controls. So we did that. We assigned the functors manually, the valency frames manually. We restored ellipses, and there are the 2,000 Czech sentences of the analytical annotation. The grammatemes are automatic, the formemes are automatic, and the alignment is automatic as well. We still don't have there the valency of nouns and adjectives, which you would normally see in the Prague dependency tree bank. We haven't done anything about topic focus articulation yet. We don't discriminate any quotation types, why something is in quotation marks. We don't have any subfunctors. We would need manual grammatemes and English textual coreference. Partly, we can take it from the BBN coreference and named entity corpus. But In that annotation, the coreference chains won't be complete because the references to our generated nodes would be missing. The annotation of English was done by 3 to 10 annotators. The fluctuation was huge, so it's impossible to say how many people they were that were on average. In 2008, we got a much better pre-processing because we found out there was a fresh release of the BBN named entity corpus and also annotation of flat noun phrases. So we added that to our corpus and made much better consistency controls and automatic pre-processing.
So for the Czech part of the tree bank, we had 11 annotators, but they were not working at the same time. So the maximal number of annotators working at the same time was 8. And there was one more person that was responsible for changes in the valency lexicon. Here in the graph, you can see the number of files annotated per annotator. So you can see that there was one annotator that did really like 650 sentences. There were several who did several hundreds, and there were some that only annotated tens of files. Okay, the annotation speed. So on average, the annotators were able to annotate 9.2 sentences per hour, which for the whole corpus means 5,326 hours, which for if you count this and you imagine a person working 8 hours a day for normal working days, it will take 5 years for one person to annotate the whole corpus. This is the reason why Perl annotation was not done on the whole data, but only on small parts to measure inter-annotator agreement. In fact, we annotated 62 files in Perl, so we have 155 instances of these files, so some of the files have more than one copy or Perl annotation, more than two Perl annotations. And we heavily exploited the automatic data checking. There were 147 different error types that we were able to discover in the data, send them back to the annotators and iterate until there were no more automatically detectable errors. This table just compares the two parts of the tree bank with respect to the number of tokens and number of tectogrammatical nodes. The numbers are approximate. I am not sure about the correct numbers because the data were still changing in last days, so but should be roughly like this. So you can see that for English, both numbers are a bit for English, the number of tokens is higher, but the number of dictogrammatical nodes is lower. And for both the languages, the number of tokens is much higher than the number of dictogrammatical nodes, which was already explained. Okay, this is something that Sylvia already told you, but this is specifically for the Czech part. So compared to Prague dependency tree bank, we are still missing subfunctors, topic focus articulation, quotation types, and the name of person attribute. And the node type and grammar teams were generated automatically, and they probably contain some errors. Okay. And this is what we did manually, and here are some details about these attributes. So valency for verbs in the Czech part, there should be the full information, but for the verbative nouns, these are the nouns that end in mnití in Czech, for example, balení. For those of them that denote an event, like balení in some of its uses, we edit missing obligatory elements, we resolve coreference on those elements, but the information doesn't have to be included in the lexicon. So you have to look to the data to get the information. For other nouns or the deverbative nouns not denoting an event, the general rule was everything is RSTR, which does not really mean there is nothing else than RSTR, but all the actants or the material and what was that, appurtenance, or everything is RSTR, because there were long discussions about these functors, and there is no information in the lexicon that we can base our decisions on, so we just decided to use one general functor for all of them. And for other parts of speech, the actants are only present for the surface elements. It means only for the nodes that correspond to surface words. So no actants are generated for other parts of speech. There is no topic focus articulation annotation in the Czech part either. And this also means that the position of rematizers is not reliable. The position of a rematizer roughly corresponds to the surface position and does not really encode the scope of the rematizer. And there was also a simplification of structure annotation. We do not distinguish the two types of coreference, for example, in red and white wine and red and white flag, meaning just one flag of both colors, the structure would be the same. We do not make another note for the second wine. Again, because there were some cases where annotators were not able to decide. Okay, and last slide shows the difference in coreference annotation between the Prague dependency tree bank and the PCDT Czech part. So we did, the annotation of coreference was different in one aspect. The nodes, the edit nodes, were just, when the annotators were adding nodes, they were using this new node special tectogrammatical lemma, and the actual value of the tectogrammatical lemma, like persprone, general, the gen, general, or the control, and stuff like that. These details were determined later by the annotators of coreference, with the exception of the quasi control that we did not annotate at all. And you can see that this led to a great change in the number of coreference links per node. So in PDT 2.0, the number of textual coreference links per node is somewhere below 0.034, but in PCDT it's something like 0.044, which is much, much higher. Okay.
So we know that the beautiful experiences with the corpus annotation are not transferable because you are all half asleep. But searching it is much more exciting, and we would like to encourage you to do that. Even if the texts are terribly boring because they are all about shares, and the most exciting part is that Mr. Smith played piano very well. But anyway, you can search this corpus. We have two options to search it, either through a web interface of the PML tree query engine, or you can download Thread and an add-on of the PML tree query engine and search it. Ask Jan for registration, otherwise you won't get through on to the corpora. This is what the web interface looks like. I am just making this announcement because I think it's a pity that actually nobody seems to know that it's there. And it's lovely. It takes you an afternoon or two, and you are able to make basic searches in the query interface. You can visualize the queries. You can just build the tree you are looking for and get it. Yeah, and as you probably anticipate, this has cost a lot of money, and these are our sponsors. Thank you for your attention.
Can you get the microphone? Because you will be
unhappy if I don't have it.
So, thank you very much for your presentation.
I think we have seen a lot of work that has been done for that purpose, and I must say that I myself am looking forward to look for things which I'm interested in comparison of the languages. So, thank you. Now, some questions from the audience. The session.
Just about the last point, the searching. So I can actually search this as a parallel corpus.
No, unfortunately, you can't yet. This interface only allows you to search the corpora monolingually. Well, there's one point we should mention. The Czech group and the English group, we have been working independently. Each had their own corpus. And it was not until the release that they got together in one format, which is the Treex format. That's the format produced by the platform Treex. And Treex doesn't have the PMLTQ plugin yet. I heard someone is working on it, so we are looking forward to be able to use it, but the sad fact is that even if you get the release of the DVD, you won't be able to search it in that format it is now. But if you want to look at the same data monolingually, you are able to do that because we just converted our corpora into that Treex format. So they are still there, the PMLTQ searchable ones.
To what extent
was the
annotation of English
inspired by the Czech sentences
in general, or
yeah.
You can make a guess.
You mean how much the Czech specification had to be adapted?
But rather the sentences themselves.
Oh, I worked with the English part, so I wasn't confronted with the Czech translations too much. Jan has
the English tree was kind of suspicious. It was it looked even non-projective at the mm-hmm. layer, and the reason for that, as you said, was the Czech version of that. Here the English annotators actually mm-hmm. followed the interpretation of the sentence as done by the translator.
Have I said that? Didn't Mrs. Heichwab say that?
No, you didn't say that, but I wondered, because I think we, if I understand well, you also agree that the interpretation of the English sentence, if I take the English sentence alone, would be different.
I don't understand the English sentence much, but I wouldn't put there the non-projective slash. Yeah. I would attach it to the verb. The prospects
Then we'd have an internotator disagreement. I think it's perfectly okay to have a mixed opinion. An opinion on something was mixed, that it was perhaps it had to do with the event structure or something, or it was just bad English. I don't know. I haven't annotated it myself, but I picked the sentence because I thought it was just very much okay.
Well, that would be another thing which I would warn you. I think that this slide, this transparency, really invites questions of that sort. So, I mean, as an explanation of the two, or as an illustration for the parallel annotation, I would have chosen a different sentence. And then I would have said that with some of the sentences where the interpretations may differ, or where the sentence may have different interpretations, it may occur that the translation induces one of the interpretations rather than the other.
It could
because
be.
Because I would say the translation is wrong, simply wrong, of this sentence. I think it doesn't really mean názory ohledně perspektivy. It really means mixed, I don't know, over something and something. So it's just, you know, it invites interesting questions because that's it. I mean, do we annotate English sentences separately and Czech sentences separately?
Yes, we did that.
Then we may come out with two different interpretations which actually depend on the translator.
Yes, because yes, that's perfectly true. It simply wasn't doable to coordinate the data and the annotation because the translations were revised several times and reprocessed. And also, each group had so many issues on their own that we were able to discuss general things like when you have with consecutive sentences. Are they that he is too young to marry or something? Where would you put the infinitive clause? We would put it there. Can't Czech do it in the same way? Yes, we can. So we kind of coordinated our general views of or general instructions on annotation. So the manuals. There has been a substantial effort to make the manuals similar, but it was impossible to make the data similar.
I think there are actually two issues that are involved here. One is that, concerning the difference between Czech and English, that the grammatical structure may differ. I mean, we too have discussed raising predicates or whatever phenomena and how to annotate them to observe the Czech annotation manual and how to put this in some parallel way. And another thing is that the translations may not really correspond or may differ translator by translator.
But even with perfect translations, this would happen very often. Actually, it without the PMLTQ bilingually, it was pretty hard to find two sentences that would make similar pictogrammatical trees.
Yeah, but that's interesting. If it is really within the structure, but if it is within the translation, then it is another issue.
Okay, refinement. The English tree here was based on the original pantry bank brackets. More or less only, and the annotator did not even see the Czech sentence. Not
later than they did, but not the tree.
But not the tree, never. And still, there is the non-projectivity. how come that there comes a non-projective bit from the three that was originally bracketing only the constituencies?
Order of tectogrammatical nodes is related to topic focus articulation. It's not annotated, so the order of nodes is just random. You cannot rely on the order of tectogrammatical nodes in any way.
So it follows... No, it doesn't even follow word order. You can't say...
We cannot say anything. We do not guarantee... any order of nodes. The annotators were able to shuffle the nodes to make the tree prettier and easier to annotate, but that's it. Any other questions?
So what was the main challenge? One of the main challenge in this, it's many years of work.
To meet the deadline? No.
To keep the annotators working?
Well, this is a really hard question. There were many, many obstacles and problems, and I am not really able to compare them, because sometimes there was something that was easy to settle, but it took a long time. Sometimes was something that was really hard to get the idea what to do, but then it was like, you know. So it's not really an easy question, but there were many, many problems. And many more problems, or some of them were quite different from the situation of Prague dependency tree bank.
Maybe even harder question then, and it may be too early to ask because you are still frustrated from the just finished work. The question will be: what is going to be the kill application of the Prague Czech-English dependency tree bank? Because you know all the limitations of that. And there has been a few applications of Prague dependency tree bank already. So which, if you could guess or suggest, which of these applications of this parallel corpus should be tried first?
Well, so it's parallel and there are two languages, so I guess that it should be used in some kind of translation applications somehow.
I think we need many more. We need a really diverse set of things to try, because many of them will fail, and we want to show off with this. So to
get people. So the real goal is to get to make people know the resource exists and let them try whatever they might want to do with the data.
May I? I would say that for me, the challenge now, or what I still would like to have, and I think Sylvia knows that, the possibility to search for the parallel. I mean, that's what you asked for. I mean, for the aligned sentences with the aligned structures, to be able to look for one phenomenon in Czech and how it reflects in the English structure. I think this at least for me as a linguist, would be a most killing application.
It should be possible in I don't know, weeks or months, but technically it's possible right now, but there are some technical obstacles that have to be solved, but it's theoretically it's possible just now. If you give me, I don't know, 2 weeks or 1 week maybe, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I
wanted to ask about the tree that was on one slide. It was the sentence with IBM and something, and then it was the clause beginning with thinking.
Yeah. I think it was so. Okay, go on. I'll look for it.
Well, I probably need the tree to formulate the question right, but. There was something strange. There was some generated note which I didn't understand really why it was.
Oh, you mean the new note there? I noticed it just before we arrived here. So that's from the web documentation which I had been working on quite a long time. Yes, there was an error. I don't have to. Here we are. Yes, these should have disappeared, and they have disappeared by now. When I extracted sentences for pictures into the web documentation, I had to search on Euler with PMLTQ, and the data on Euler were always much older than the actual data. So that's it. There was an error. You were right. 10 points.
Actually, that's not what I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask about the coreference error. It seems to me that it fills the same function as part of the valency frame of the verb to think. So I don't understand. If I say that the IBM is it is a participant of the valency frame of the thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, the new node would have the coreferential node would have the coreferential lemma and grammatical coreference to IBM, and both arrows would point to IBM. Yes.
Ah, I see.
Okay, thank you. In the case of this complement that always has these two arrows pointing to the same.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes, still about possible applications or searching. Maybe it's related, but I think once you have a parallel tree bank, so it's not just the lexical correspondences that you can generate, but also structural correspondences. I think that would be extremely interesting to have statistics maybe of structural correspondences for this corpus and all sorts of things like this. Of course, it could be related to the lexical data and maybe something like a lexicon of heads, what kinds of structures they occurred in and the parallel structures in the other language. That would be really interesting.
Absolutely, and we are just very anxious to get the PMLTQ add-on into the TREEX format. Yeah.
I don't see any candidate for asking a question. So may I thank you again for your presentation. And I would like to invite you all for two events. one is Manfred Steder's presentation next week in the Fred Jelinek series here at 1:30. And then, of course, for our Christmas meeting on Monday, which is not at the time of our seminar, is later, but this does not mean that we will have a seminar. Okay, so thank you very much.